All right. It is about that time. What is happening? It is Nazzy from the Pulse of New Hampshire. And let me get my list together here because every week it gets longer and longer. It is now my honor to introduce to you the man who was voted best hair in high school and again as an adult, best smile, best dancer, best grandpa, best fisherman. This is, I want to look into that. Best baseball player, fastest runner, most awesome shoes. I feel like I'm missing something. Tom Raffio, president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental, and of course, the longest running host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom, what am I missing? I'm missing something.
Well, that was the first thing you missed because Jack Heath gave me my start in radio.
Oh, yep.
I've had the same curly hair all those 13 years. But you also forgot that, particularly since the Red Sox are lousy this year, that I'm the number one fan of the 67 Red Sox, the third base coach, Eddie Papowski.
I'm writing this down. Number one fan of the 67 Red Sox.
Eddie Papowski, third base coach. And finally, I'm dubbed the busiest man in showbiz because, for example, this recently I had a very robust weekend. I was helping out with Miss New Hampshire, giving out STEM scholarship awards, road races, a number of functions. And yet here I am vibrantly doing my radio responsibilities, Nazzy.
You are, as the kids call, resilient. You are, you really are.
And speaking of resilient, I'm also a great dot connector, which you can add to the list. Mm-hmm. So I talk about resilience in my book, Prepare for Crisis, Plan to Thrive, which you can get right here in Concord at Gibson's. And it talks about how we were resilient during the height of the pandemic, so much so that we gave $27 million back to the community and had still a stellar year ourselves and still supported things like the Lions Cup soccer event, which we'll be talking about momentarily. So you can get that. I prefer people using their sneaker wear, since you mentioned sneakers, going into Gibson's, or if you're in Manchester, going down to the Bookery. But Nazzy, if you insist on having the Amazon Prime truck drive up your driveway, it is available on Amazon.
Absolutely. But let's bring in this guest. I'm excited to talk to this
guy. Me too, actually. So Andrew Dawson is the head varsity coach at New Market High School for the girls, and also is the Lions Cup girls coach. So Andrew, thank you for joining me. I love soccer. All my kids played it. I'm a big historian following Rob Grable's books on soccer history. So I'm really into how New Hampshire, even though for us being a relatively small state, how disproportionately well we do when it comes to, you know, regional and national tournaments, et cetera, et cetera. So let's start with you. Tell us about your coaching history.
Yeah, so thank you. I've been coaching at New Market High School. This will be my 13th year. I'm going into my 13th year.
A lucky 13, I bet.
I'd like to think that, yes. Prior to that, I was an assistant in the Portsmouth High School program under my good friend Rick Huguenot. And then prior to that, I had coached at the club level. I coached at Seacoast United. And then obviously just, growing up in England, growing up with the game that I love, and just getting any opportunity just to give back to it.
So at Seacoast United, so I'm very familiar with that organization. We do a lot of sponsorship with James Patterson and whatever. So that's great. So why don't we pause there and say, how do you see high school soccer, which can be the funnest senior year of any person's career in athletics, particularly if the team's pretty good and you go deep into the tournament? Can you reconcile that with obviously the club sports? And I totally get it that the ones that the athletes that excel and specialize in soccer probably have the better chance of making it into college. But can you tell us about your experience both at Seacoast United and how it interplays with high school soccer?
Yeah, no, it's very interesting. It's obviously it's the same sport with the same rules, but it's a very, very different environment. When I coached at Seacoast, it was a very positive experience. Really loved coaching the teams there. Obviously, the players you have are highly motivated. They're the top players in their age groups. That is the path to go on and play in college for sure. Coaching at high school, which I love also, is very different in that the players tend to play for the upperclassmen, play for the seniors. You have these kids for 4 years. At Seacoast United, sometimes I would have players for one, maybe two seasons, and then be handed a new team. When you coach at high school, it's very much more like coaching a program. This would be my 13th year. My first couple of years there, I had fun and the kids had fun, but we did not have good records. It was like turning the Titanic. You have to try to instill a way of, I have a very specific way of playing a possession-oriented game, but it's not something that you can just turn on overnight. It takes a long time to sometimes break old bad habits and get kids to play in a certain way. But once you get that instilled into the program, you find that it almost breeds itself, because now you've got the kids that you had as freshmen and sophomores. Now they have an understanding of how, that's how we need to play. And they can then help bring the younger kids as they come into the program. And so you find yourself coaching a program at the high school level rather than coaching maybe a team at the Seacoast United level.
Understood. Now, the last couple of years, particularly in 2020, but also 2021, with COVID descending on us and different rules or policies to make the seasons happen, you know, more local schedules, et cetera. How would you describe the last 2 years for you as a leader, you know, of your high school team?
It was very difficult, especially 2020. For a while there, we didn't even really think we were going to have a season at all. We were very lucky. The school board decided that we would play. There was very specific rules, obviously, which I think a lot of schools had to deal with at that time. But we got to play. And so that was really the main thing, was to get the kids out there, get them having fun. Last year was maybe not completely back to normal, the 2021 season, but it was very much like it had been prior to the COVID pandemic.
Great. And I know it's a little early to talk about next season, although before you know it, it'll be you'll be doing tryouts in July and August,
and then we'll
circle back to Lions Cup momentarily. But sure. How does next year look for you as far as the school?
Well, we just came. We're very lucky in 2021. We won the Division IV state title. We'd been knocking on that door, but felt like an eternity. We had played in prior to that 4 championship games. Come out the wrong end of each one, some of them very heartbreaking, close games. And then we finally were able to turn the corner last year and come home with the goods. But we do graduate 12 seniors. Newmarket is not a big school. That feels like half the school. So next year will be interesting. We've got a very good crop core of very talented players, which I'm looking forward to having back. And then it's always so exciting when the incoming freshman class, and you find these sort of rough diamonds that can be polished into high school football players. And it's very exciting to, as those new kids come through and you start to see what their potential is.
And I follow high school really closely, and I was so happy when you all won it all, as well as Rob Johnson on the boys' side for Lebanon, because Rob had been knocking on the door for longer than you, and including when championship games were, if it ended in the tie, you played a second game. That's how far back.
Seriously,
He finally, Lebanon, the boys' varsity, finally won too, so it was great. It was great to see, because it's quite competitive in New Hampshire. So, well, that's great. And as you know, every year is a new year. And while you lost all your seniors, you know, you have now sort of set the tone for a school that is known for soccer. So I predict you're going to have a good season.
Thank you. I hope that holds true.
So let's talk about the Lions Cup, which I'm also deeply involved with. Delta Dental was a sponsor last year, and I don't go back as far as the first game, which I know was played, you know, back in 1975 when I was still in college, and Vermont beat New Hampshire. And the first girls game was 1983, and you're coaching the girls team, correct?
That's correct. Yes.
So how does the tryouts work, and how competitive it is. I think that it's really close in terms of competition. I think in the girls' side, it's like whatever, 19-14, and the boys' side, it's like 19-17, and a bunch of ties. So obviously, surprisingly, you know, Vermont, or maybe not surprisingly, Vermont's really is right there, you know, with New Hampshire. So how do you select the team, and then how do you galvanize it together so they play as a team when they ultimately play Vermont?
Right. Yeah, no, you're right. It is very competitive. It's a wonderful, the Lions organization is a great organization, obviously, with a long history of philanthropic endeavors and giving back. It's the Lions Cup itself, this game between the All-Stars of New Hampshire and the high school All-Stars of New Hampshire versus Vermont is a very good fundraiser for the Lions Cup for some very worthy causes, which I really like to be involved with. The selection process is quite competitive. Every year is a little different in how many kids come out. It's only eligible. So you have to be a senior to be eligible. We do hold a tryout, which is basically we have a game where all of the coaches who have been voted coach of the year in the past in New Hampshire get to vote on the players from that game. And then we select the top players, and those are the players that go into the game against Vermont. Your question about how do we gel them into a team is a very good one. In the past, it has been a training camp. We go on a Thursday. We have training sessions on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday morning. We play the game Saturday afternoon. Obviously, the COVID year threw a wrench into that. It's evolved into just a game now. I very much hope that it will get back to being a training camp, because the experience for the girls has always been very positive. It's very interesting to be a coach of the team, because you've got these players who, during their 4 years of high school, and very often these are the top players, have been very competitive against each other.
Right, and now they're coming together. Let's hold that thought, because I'd love to hear how you do.
Yeah, me too.
Get it all together, and then we can also talk about I know this year, you know, there'll be fans again. We started again last year. But so with that, we'll pause a little bit, Nazzy, correct?
Yep. We'll take a quick break and we'll come back with more Northeast Delta Dental Radio coming up next. Nazzy from the Pulse of New Hampshire, Tom Raffio, the whole list of accolades, man. We could spend a whole show just running down the accolades. But he is the host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio and, of course, the president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental, and joined today by Mr. Andrew Dawson. And, I got to tell you guys, one of my happiest times in school was when I was on the soccer team. I mean, there's just something to say about that. It's just it's really fun for everybody, you know. So take it away, guys.
Sure. It's true. And again, the relevance for today is Delta Dental does sponsor the Lions. And Nazzy, you need to hear this, but in seventh grade, I was the best soccer goalie. And to this day, when I do a Facebook post, all my high school friends always sign it off with best seventh grade high school goalie.
Hold on. Tom Raffio, best goalie in seventh grade.
However, in those days, Andrew, although you use the term football when you, of course, were talking about soccer, but in those days, it was still more, I don't know, exciting to play American football. So even though I loved soccer, when the American football coach asked me to go out, I switched sports and kind of regretted that. So I'm just curious. So you know how you kind of segued into calling soccer or football, which I know that's what you call it, but do you run into that a lot? And do people give you strange looks? Or
yes, I slip up once in a while. The players at the high school especially like it when I call it that. They say, you know, we have this game football over here that's a little different. And I say, yeah, well, you know, we have a game where you actually kick the ball with your foot. So we call it football. If you'd like to call it throwing pointy ball and kicking it every so often, I mean, you could call it that, but it's
that's funny. That's
we'd like really to cool. own that name.
So I know the game's this summer. So have you, has the team been selected after the last fall season? You did that like one day of.
Yeah, that's right. So the first Saturday past the end of the season is when we ask the seniors to come to the New Hampshire Technical Institute. They're very kind. They offer us a field, one for the girls, one for the boys. We play a very, can be quite competitive game. And then the all of the coaches that are present, any coach that's been voted a coach of the year in the past is eligible to make a selection, be part of the selection process, and then we select the team. And this year's team looks very good.
So how were you selected as the head coach?
The I'm not the head coach this year. I'm one of, there's four coaches. I've been head coach in the past. A different coach is head coach this year. It cycles through every year. You know, it'll be Division One. We'll send the head coach Division Two, Division Three, Division Four, and then cycle back. The coaches for the Lions Cup are the ones who have were lucky enough to be voted coach of the year for that year. Vermont does it a little differently. They still do the coach of the year, but they send their coach of the year as an assistant to get some experience, and then the following year, they're the head coach of their team, which is an interesting way to go about it. I don't think there's any one particular best way to have that, but it's very, it's great to be in the company of other such celebrated coaches.
Yeah, and as we briefly talked about, there is a lot of celebrated New Hampshire coaches, you know, both on the women and men's side. And when one of my daughters played at West High School many years ago, there was a celebrated women's coach that had an incredible record. And of course, we know Dave and George Pinkham on the boys' side of things.
Yeah, great,
and it's just it's extraordinary. So before the break, you were saying how, you know, you're now taking the elite top players of all the different schools in your division and all the divisions who might have been fierce competitors. And now they're going to be teammates. So on the one hand, I think it's great, you know, that they get to know each other and all that. But are there awkward moments, and how do you break that down and get them all coming together?
Yeah, well, like I was saying, it was great when it was a training camp where we really had time to have these kids get to know each other. They would stay at various colleges. It would rotate through the universities, generally the ones closer to the border of New Hampshire and Vermont. Franklin Pierce has hosted it a few years. Castleton University in Vermont has hosted it as well. But yeah, you've got this situation where these kids who really have, you're absolutely right, that's a great term, fierce competitors. I mean, these are kids who fight against each other, and in some cases have great rivalries, but play for schools that, you know, don't like each other because they fight hard to beat each other in the regular season. And you take these elite players, these are the best players from their schools, and you throw them onto a team and you say, okay, now you need to play with this player. And at the early stages, there can be, I mean, there's at minimum some ribbing back and forth, especially if maybe, you know, one of them beat the other one over this past season. You know, that can always create some sparks. But it doesn't really take long for them to realize that the only path to success for their New Hampshire team is for them to get along and be able to use each other's strengths. And that realization is very rewarding to see that come to fruition, where you see a player who's been battling against this other player all over the 4 years of high school, and then suddenly realize, oh, that thing that I always hated about that player, the fact that they could beat me on the run or that they could cut through a defense, you know, now that's a positive thing for me now, because she's on my team and that will help me. And so I'm going to try to pass to that player. And so to see all that come together and to see them find unity in each other's strengths is a very rewarding experience.
So there's a lot of bonding. And then you had mentioned it earlier, too, that this is held in, you know, in collaboration with Lions Club International Organization. There's a great relationship with the Lions clubs, both in Vermont and New Hampshire, the districts,
right,
and zones, and the fundraising. And sure, we even, yeah, had some players who have benefited from the fundraising, you know, that the Lions club did, you know, the famous Hanover player. So I know you have a Twin State Soccer Association group that meets to do the planning. Have the venue been set? I mean, I know last year it was in Hanover, and just for the listening audience, this game for many years, it used to be in Middlebury, Keene. There was even back in the early 80s, you'd have literally thousands, a fan. So have they settled on the venue this year?
That's a very good question. I'm unfortunately can't give you an answer on that right now. It may well be said. I don't have it at my fingertips right this second.
But we're working on that, and I know we're going to have Rob Grable and some of the other coaches on in other shows, and we'll detail that for the listening audience.
I'm sure they will know.
And it's great to have people out there cheering. And I know Delta Dental will be one of the sponsors. So you've coached Seacoast United, you've coached high school, you probably coached across the pond. What's the Lions Club experience like for you as a coach, this melding? But are there other things, more personalities you have to deal with, more assistant coaches, things like that?
It is quite different. The Lions organization has very set ways that they've been doing this game. And you talk about the fact it's been running for decades, and it has, which is really terrific, because they've just every year they're able to support the not-for-profits that they support. The New Hampshire and Vermont Lions have different organizations that they give this money to. I believe the New Hampshire one is the site for blind and deaf kids. There's a camp which they give to, which is extraordinarily worthy organization. I think that Vermont has one too. And so it's actually really has been very funny to me over the years to see these young high school seniors, boys and girls, come to this camp or come to this game, and then interact with these with a group of people that they probably in any other walk of their life would just not come in contact with. And to see that come together can be quite funny. That there's a banquet, kind of like a brunch banquet, if you like, prior to the game, where the leaders of the Lions organization get up. And over the years, it's been hilarious because they've got to know these kids over the 2 days of the camp. The kids who lose their key to the room and they don't know how to get into their room and they're late for lunch, and can somebody please help me get my lunch? And the Lions leaders remember all that. And so when it comes time for the brunch, they roast these kids for the things that they've done over the camp, and it's just hilarious. And of course they roast each other too. That's just part of their
there's a really good tradition. And at least on the boys' side, this is game number 47 in the 48th year. They obviously 1 year skipped because of COVID, but we were able to pull it off last year. And mentioned, the girls started in 1983. So I am so looking forward to the competition this year. Nancy, I know I sparked your interest with this, and maybe we'll drive up together. It's a really cool day. So give us, Andrew, since you're from across the pond, give us the 30 seconds on, no matter, at least on the men's side of thing, no matter how much United States focuses on soccer, we'll never quite get to the level of European soccer or Brazilian soccer. Why is that?
Well, it's not that they're not going to get to the level. It's not going to that they would never get to the talent level, if you like. It's just that you've got, in most of the countries, that certainly England and Brazil that you just mentioned, football soccer is the number one sport without question. And the rest of the sports, cricket and rugby that get played, certainly in England, are popular, but no way in as much. Whereas here you just have a multitude of different sports, that which is fantastic. I mean, everybody has their own that they gravitate towards. And so when it comes to the athletic talent of kids getting older in America, they're going to be split to the, and they're, and let's face it, the cream of the crop of athleticism are going to be drawn to where the money is, which is, of course, American football, basketball. Baseball to an extent. Yeah. But, soccer is through MLS and through the national teams, especially on the women's side. I mean, you look at the success of the women's national team, it's extraordinary on the world stage. I mean, they've won World Cups, Olympic titles. So the dream of playing at the highest level, certainly on the women's side, is there. And on the men's side, it's getting there too.
It's going to happen. Of course, we've been saying this since the 80s, Nazzy. But anyway, we're going to have fellow coaches on to get more details on the Lions Cup. But good luck. Gotta keep New Hampshire ahead of Vermont, Andrew. So I'm counting on you.
We've had last few times that I've been coaching there, we've had our share of success.
Good. Awesome. All right. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you. Pleasure talking to you guys.
Thank you guys both. And listen, we will see you next time on the Pulse of New Hampshire.